Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Thursday. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Well, good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at. This is Dr. Eileen, and this is Healing House Radio. If you would like to call in, the guest call-in number for the LA area is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, including those here in the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area, well, beautiful but a little bit overcast, the toll-free number is 877-697-9725. Also, if you'd like to log into the chat room, producer Kina will be there standing in, ready to field your questions and comments. And after the show, I'll be logging into the chat room myself. So if you have any questions, please feel free to hang out there. I came across a very interesting story. Now, today's show is about Gotta Own It. And it has to do with those amazing experiences of what are commonly known as mistakes, goof-ups, and otherwise dough moments. An 18th century French chateau was bulldozed by mistake. And the Associated Press put out from Paris, residents of a sleepy French village in Bordeaux have been left dumbfounded after discovering their local 18th century chateau was completely bulldozed, quote, by mistake. The mayor's office of, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing this, Yervac, said Wednesday that workers were hired to renovate the grand 13,000 square meter, which is 140,000 square feet, manor, and tear down a small building on the same estate in southwest France. The company mixed them up. The Chateau de Bellevue was Yervac's pride and joy, said owner Juliette Marmier. The whole village is in shock. How can this construction firm make such a mistake? Local media reported that the construction company misunderstood the renovation plans of the current owner, Russian businessman Dmitry Stroskin, to clear up the manor and restore it to its former Baroque glory. The owner was away when the calamity occurred and returned home to discover his chateau, a local treasure, boasting a grand hall that could host some 200 people, as well as a sweeping stone staircase, was nothing but rubble. I'm in shock. I understand the turmoil of the community, the local media quoted the owner as saying. He told them that he plans to build an exact replica of the lost manor on the site. Okay. That is a major, oh my gosh, my bad moment. Now, does it require mistakenly bulldozing a 140,000 square foot historic manor to realize that, sometimes when we're not as attentive as we could be, things happen. So, how does that relate to us? As opposed to somebody who might be in construction who at this moment may be saying, oh, gee, maybe I will check that latest order. So, what do we do? How do we take a look at this story that kind of came out of, you know, nowhere? I was just looking around and found it. When we have a chance to take a look at what we choose in any given moment, keeping in mind that what we choose in that moment is the absolute best choice that we know to make. I'm sure those construction guys were, you know, believing that they had everything exactly right. Now, there's an old Murphy's Law. There's a whole list of Murphy's Laws. One of them states that if everything is going well and you have all contingencies and variables accounted for, obviously there's something you're missing. How often do we get caught in one of those moments where there was something missing? And whether it's a minor issue, like you close the car door, lock it, look down, and you see the keys on the seat, or maybe something a little bit bigger, like a poor choice that leads to either a conflict with family, friends, or the local police force. It's what we do with the mistakes that really tell us, one, where we are in our spiritual growth and our spiritual path, where we are as a human being, where we are as a responsible person, and it also gives us an opportunity to remind us, well, maybe we are not perfect. Either way, no matter what the size of your mistake is, the first step is owning it. Now, we've all had those moments where it's like, but this, and, you know, well, it was perfectly justified. And we take into consideration the fact that it's like, well, there is always extenuating circumstances, and maybe the mistake was not our fault. Don't you love that when a mistake comes up and it turns out it is totally not your fault? We are able to justify it, rationalize it, and especially if we've been caught in it by somebody else. It's one thing when you catch yourself in your own mistake, and it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, oh, that was not my best moment. All right, we can move on. But when somebody else catches you in it, that is a new level of, you know, what it is to really, well, I guess just be caught in it. And there's nothing like getting caught in something in front of witnesses. So, what do we do? How do we manage it? How do we turn that situation into a situation that we can go, okay, tomorrow I'm actually going to be a better person for this? I mean, think about it. How often do you have the opportunity to actually grow from something and to be able to say, okay, I got this, but you know what? I am learning something very huge from this entire process. It's what we take from these situations that gives us the leg up, that allows us to find that place of balance, because that's the whole trick. Can we find a place of balance in whatever process that we're in? I mean, does it go into a place of saying, you know what, I am not going to let this beat me, that I'm going to admit what happened, that it's okay to experience what I experienced, because it really is important to me to, you know, just accept it, to own it. I often quote my parents because, well, you know, one, they're tremendously cool. And they were just such awesome people that encouraged me to grow as a person and to own what it is that I needed to own. My mistakes were mine. And being in a family of six, two boys, two girls, We often, you know, played the game of whose fault it was. Anybody who has ever lived in a family with more than one child has gotten into that issue of who did it. And it's not me. Not me. It wasn't my fault. And maybe it wasn't that time. We all had it be our fault at some point. And when you're a kid, the idea of getting caught in something was, you know, much worse than, you know, the idea of actually doing it. We really didn't have a concept of, okay, this is what, you know, went on, and, you know, I can deal with this because, you know, there's a deeper lesson to learn. No, it's, I don't want to get in trouble. And how often do we go into that place of, you know what, I just don't want to get in trouble? We make up stories for really three main reasons. And there may be other reasons, but they kind of boil down to, we want to look good. We want to reduce risk. And we want to survive. And when we look at, well, the first instinct when a mistake comes up is, well, it wasn't my fault. That I was not, I either did not have the right information, somebody else, you know, did not give me the right information, I was depending on that, that there's a whole sequence of events that could lead to this idea of, oh my gosh, this is a mess up and this is not going as planned. So when we look at the idea of, all right, gotta own it. And I mean, you know, when we gotta own it hardcore. And sometimes we do. Sometimes it just comes down to, you know what? I am not going to play this off. I'm not going to pretend like this is, you know, not important, because sometimes that's one of the other things we do. It's like, well, but it's not important anyway. That, you know, yes, I made a mistake, but, you know, it's not a big deal. Why are you making such a big deal? So that's one of our little ways of getting out of it is turn it around. You know, it's like, well, I don't know why you're making such a big deal of this. And when I say this, understand, I am totally speaking from, you know, personal experience. I know that there are times when I do that. Because I am a divine being having a human experience just like everyone else. And it's really tough sometimes to swallow that great big old humble pie. And the sooner we can get past that, I don't want to look bad. I don't want to look silly. I don't want to look like less. I don't want to risk my job. I mean, maybe it's one of those uh-oh moments that hits at work. And you don't want to risk maybe losing your job over it. Or maybe having a relationship, you know, that goes really bad. There's a lot of reasons why we don't want to own it. We don't want it to belong to us. And the sooner we can get past that whole piece of whether or not it's our fault, whether or not it's another fault, we got to own it. And once we do that, then we can gain power over it. It does not have the ability to hurt us if it's something that we acknowledge. Nobody can come to you and say, hey, you messed up. You messed up big time. If you say, duh, no kidding. This was one of my epic moments of poor choice. Got that. Now, do you have anything productive to add to this? It stops having the power to create that negative feeling. Because basically all that does, a mistake can go one of a couple of ways. It can either become a learning experience and be accepted as that, or it can be another reason that we add to the list of all the reasons that we feel bad about ourselves. It has no power in and of itself. It does not have the ability to either hurt or help you unless you create an intention behind it. If it becomes, oh yeah, well, that's me, I messed up again, that's what I do, that's what I always do. First off, that's not your story. That's a story that was given to you. That's something that you accepted. And in the same way that it can be accepted, it can be rejected or at least modified. It's like, you know what? Yeah, I did mess up. And I'm really sorry, especially if it was something that was hurtful to someone. Because it's usually a lot easier to deal with a mistake that hurts us as opposed to a mistake that hurts somebody else. And it makes it that much harder to own when somebody else, I guess in some ways, pays the price for our choice. It's a tough one. It's a tremendously tough one. And on the other side of that, there are those who own it for somebody else. It honestly wasn't your mistake. So I guess that would be a key thing, figuring out, one, was this actually my mistake? Was this error really mine? And it's not about finding someone else to blame, because if it's yours, it's yours. But if it's not, it's not. And figuring out a way to find balance with the fact that it's like, you know what? No, this wasn't mine. This doesn't belong to me. I did, going back over it. You look at, you know, the whole scenario over and over again. Okay, what could I have done differently? And if your answer is nothing, then don't worry about it. If, with the information you had, you would have made the exact same choice, then don't think of it as a wrong one. It was the best choice you could have made. It was the best decision you could have made. Now, if you're being honest with yourself, and I usually encourage that, and you say, you know what? Yeah, I knew better. Something told me, some little instinctive gut, or I actually knew that this was going to go south, and I did it anyway. Why? I still need to figure out, but I do know that I could have made another choice. See, there's the pivotal point. Could you have made another choice? And if you couldn't, then own the fact that an action just went south, that it somehow went wrong, but everything in you figured that that was going to be correct. I mean, the guys who tore down the chateau, should they be held accountable? Why, yes, they should. And in my feeling, that guy should be able to get that new thing built pretty much on the paycheck of the company that made the mistake. That's where we find the balance in it. It's like, okay, here's the mistake. What can we do to, if not fix it, but to balance it as best we can? How can we bring that back into a state of balance? Because when a mistake happens, usually one of the things that happens is it creates an imbalance. Either it creates an imbalance in a relationship, it creates an imbalance with someone else, it creates an imbalance in a situation. Either way, one way or another, there's an imbalance that happens. So how is it that that can be brought back into a place of balance? Well, one of the ways is by figuring out whether or not, okay, could there be something that I can do that will correct it? You know, you can't totally correct something, but, you know, is it possible that I could somehow make it better? So look at that. If there's a way to make it better, then make it better. If there's a way to create something that moves it into a positive place, then maybe that was a mistake that needed to be made. Sometimes things come up, mistakes happen, stuff occurs, and it turns out a little bit down the line that that was one of the best things that could have happened. So when we look at the balance point, when we look at what is it that gives us a way to bring an event, because that's all a mistake is, it's an event. It is neither good nor bad. It is just a place of change. Let's see. It looks like we've got a call in. Kumutra would like to come on the air. Hello, is this Kumutra?
It's not Kumutra, it's Kumut Ra.
Kumut Ra. Well,
right.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. Welcome to Healing House Radio. How can I help you?
Well, I just was listening to your program, and it's excellent because a lot of blockages, a lot of hindrance, a lot of misdirection and misguidance is because of mistaken ideas and mistaken beliefs. And
mm-hmm.
And I don't think that I did want to say is mistaken ideas and mistaken beliefs are more than what you said. Mistaken
mm-hmm.
ideas and mistaken beliefs, they lock down the spiritual, the physical, the psychological, and psychical fields. These are your major energy fields. And once
mm-hmm.
they're filled with mistaken ideas and mistaken beliefs, it starts a cycle now. That cycle is shame, blame, and gain, and guilt.
Yeah.
And most people are living off of shame, blame, and guilt. This is why they can't open up their energy fields. So when you talk about healing, you first must remove the mistaken ideas and the mistaken beliefs that have been indoctrinated into your psyche and your mind and your heart and your spirit.
Absolutely, absolutely. Where are you calling us from?
I'm New York.
You're in New York. Oh, blessings to you. Everything okay with Hurricane Sandy aftermath?
Yeah, I really didn't even have a part of it because
oh.
of the place I'm in,
well,
in New York. So it didn't.
Well,
really
blessings for that. And, you know that the entire world is holding everyone there in love and in prayer. And, you know, and a part of that wonderful aspect of humanity is that idea that, you know, we can be wrapped up in, oh, poor me, or I'm such a bad person. No matter how bad a person you think you are, when something comes up and you put out that thought, wow, I hope they're okay, even if it's just that, we all become a better person. As, you know, it's almost like we are one giant person. And we all have a piece in making that person better when we can step out of those things that disempower us
mm-hmm.
and allow us to move forward. And, you know, just by sometimes lightening up on ourselves and gentling the energy that we have towards ourselves. So, you know, it really is a magical transformation that can occur when, as you say, you give up, you know, that shame, that blame, you know, that guilt that pretty much is all based on someone else's story that
mm-hmm.
we put on as our story. But it really isn't. It is not the story that we have, unless we choose for it to be.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, thank you so much for calling, and hopefully you can stop into the chat room after we finish, we're going to do a few announcements, and then I'll be in the chat room. But thank you so much for calling.
Thank you for disseminating that information.
Okay. Take care. All righty, everyone. Thank you for signing on and signing in, and it really is awesome when, you know, I take a look on Blog Talk Radio. They have the capacity to look at how many people call in, how many people go into the chat rooms, how many people are going into the archive. And I know there's a lot of you who can't listen at the moment that I'm broadcasting, but come into the archives. And to know that over 4,000 people come in and, you know, each month log on to my shows and listen to them, I honestly hope that you are getting the absolute best. And know that everything I say is truly coming from my heart. You know, my shows are not scripted, and something will come up and I'll be talking about it. I really come from my absolute place of authenticity in everything I say, in everything I express. And if in some case that conflicts with yours, please feel free to contact me and let me know your viewpoint. And know that when I say I hold each and every one of you in prayer, in my thoughts, every single day, please accept that as true. I want nothing but absolute balance and wonderment and joy and amazement and magic in all of your lives. And I will continue to hold that for all of you, especially for those who maybe are having a hard time holding that for themselves. For those who really forget just for a little bit how amazing and wondrous you are, what a miracle each and every one of you is, how you add to what the universe is, and without you, the universe would be a little bit less. That's balance. Realizing that in yourself and in others. And that's the heart of it. That's the magic of it. Realizing that even when we make mistakes, once we own it, then it cannot own us. When we go into that place of accepting ourselves, warts and all, our mistakes, our triumphs, everything, that is when true balance comes in. That is when we can accept ourselves, and it is as simple and as complicated as that. So thank you all for listening in. For those of you who would like to know a little bit more about me, you can check out my website at www.the-healing-house.com. And you'll see information about classes I offer, about work that I do. And also, I will be setting up a video chat so that if people would like to video chat with me, we could either do a group or we could do one-on-one consultations. We can do that. Technology is amazing. As far as I'm concerned, elves make it work. But the important thing is, it works. And so using all these technological ways to contact, you can also reach me at dr.eileen, A-Y-L-E-E-N, at the-healing-house.com. We have information on the website about my book, Frequencies, which is available on Amazon. It's available through Kindle. And you can just look it up, and I would really love to know, for those of you who have my book, I'd love to hear about what you think about it. And I will be publishing early next year my second book, which is going to be called Frequencies for the Healer. And it's for everybody, since we're all healers. So, thanks for listening in. I wish everyone a wonderful and blessed week. I will be back next Thursday at the same time. And remember, as long as you own it, It can't own you. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And as I said, I'll be checking into the chat room. And for everyone else, take care and bye-bye.